No, just to show you how the media works here. This fellow, Dmitry Medvedev, the ex-president of Russia, went on national television and told everybody that the amount of stuff that they had on aliens and all that stuff was more than most people could ever believe or understand. Next thing you know, this is out. It says, advertisement are top secret files on aliens and UFOs kept by Russian heads of state. Prime Minister Dmitry Medvedev talked extraterrestrial life and UFO sightings Friday after a televised interview in Moscow. Did the former president, who was succeeded by Vladimir Putin, show off his subtle sense of humor? Or is there some truth to otherworldly life? Well, who said he was joking? You know who said he was joking? The media. This is how they do it. Now, this is that thing got out, so the first thing you do is say, oh, he was just kidding. That's how this stuff goes. That's how they do it, see? After the interview concluded, I mean, why even bring it up if it was just a joke? Why is it all over the news? After the interview concluded, the cameras continued to run. At some point, well, if the interview was over, why would he be joking around? At some point, the former prime minister told a journalist that leaders get two folders containing top secret files on aliens that came to Earth and remained. Medvedev cautioned that he could not tell them how many of them are among us because it may cause panic. He's saying that when he thinks he's off air. He was joking. They thought he was off air. When he suggested gathering more information from Men in Black films, it was all passed as a joke. However, could it be a slip of the tongue or the truth masked by an ill attempt at comedy? In 1948, a UFO sighting took place over Kapusin Yar and a rocket launch research base in Russia. Many call the area Russia's Roswell, or the Soviet Union's equivalent to Area 51 in the United States. Reportedly, a cigar-shaped object, for more information, see Zechariah chapter 5, a cigar-shaped object suddenly appeared over an area near the base. A MiG pilot was flying at the time and reported being blinded by its reflection. At some point, the order was given to engage the UFO sighting. The pilot fired, striking the object, and both craft plummeted toward the ground. The pilot is said to have died after being hit by a proton beam. So on and so forth. Give some other ones. Then the next article that comes out is this. Men in Black agents K and J may be about to recruit a new Russian assistant, Prime Minister Dmitry Medvedev. Medvedev has spoken about top-secret files on aliens that may have landed in Russia. In footage recorded on Friday after a television interview, the former president joked. You see how it's done? You just throw that word in there. That each Russian leader gets two folders with information about extraterrestrials that visit our planet and stayed here. Unseen on camera footage, he is heard telling a Ren TV journalist he could not tell how many of them are among us because it may cause panic. He didn't even think he was on air. Why is he joking? Now, we know what they are according to the scriptures. They ain't from other planets. They're from under your feet. He said more details could be found in Barry Sonnenfeld's Men in Black films. During his 2008-2012 presidency, Medvedev showed a sense of humor slightly more subtle than Putin's sometimes brutal jokes. He's just kidding. That's latest on that. Now, we'll see what happens with that fella, but I guarantee you probably don't make it past a month unless he comes out himself and says he was just kidding. Mark that one down. That was all free. We'll get into the lesson now. Look there in Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. And we started last week looking at this things on signs of the times. We talked about how the Lord's coming and why he's coming. So now we're looking at when he's coming. And the context, of course, in Luke 12 and other places is in reference to the second coming of Jesus Christ physically to the earth. And we know we're not going to be here when that happens, so we're not all that interested in the fact of when he's physically returning, other than if we knew when that was, we'd know that about 7 years before that is about when we should be going, if we know anything about our Bible. So picking it up here in Luke chapter 12, and we'll look at it once again there, beginning in verse 54. And he said also to the people, when ye shall see a cloud rise out of the west, straightway to say, there cometh a shower, and so it is. And when you see the south wind blow, you say, there will be heat, and it cometh to pass. Ye hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky and of the earth, but how is it that you do not discern this time? Yea, and why even of your own selves judge ye not what is right? When thou goest with thine adversary to the magistrate, as thou art in the way, give diligence that thou mayest be delivered from him, lest he hail thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and the officer cast thee in prison. I tell thee, thou shalt not depart thence till thou hast paid the very last mite. And so he's talking here about knowing the signs of weather and the patterns and the things going on. And he says you can discern those things, but you can't discern the signs of the times. And so we reference some things that we know aren't in connection with the rapture, but are simply for the second coming. But there are some things that the Bible says will take place before the rapture of the church. We've been looking at those things concerning Israel going back into the land, the idea of Noah and Lot and the things that were going on in those days, the sex and the violence, and the closer you get to those things, since they are a type. Since Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah and as it was in the days of Lot, we understand that there'll be an increase in sexual promiscuity and violence before the return of Jesus Christ. There's no doubt about that from Scripture. Also, that Israel is back in the land. We know that that must take place before the rapture of the church, as when we leave, the Antichrist will sit in the temple of God. He can't obviously do that unless Israel is back in the land. And then we started looking at this thing of a falling away first. We noted, first of all, there in 1 Timothy chapter 4, that there would be doctrines of devils, seducing spirits, connected with diet and exercise and all that stuff that they're trying to shove down Christians' throats now. I mentioned to you something last week during that. If you get the CD, you'll understand it was in there. And I told you, if Jesus Christ told you that salt is good, then don't worry about what they're trying to teach you. You should already know that salt is good. Salt is not bad for you. If salt is bad for you, Jesus Christ wouldn't have said that salt is good. Amen. It ain't hard to figure out, see. Now, I got this thing. I just printed this latest study that came out. For decades, table salt has been on the Healthy Heart's Most Wanted list, believing it's responsible for skyrocketing blood pressure. Americans have banned salt from tables and stripped it from recipes. But new research says salt just might deserve a bit of a reprieve. No kidding. The link between salt and blood pressure is thought to date back to the 1940s, when Duke University researcher Walter Kepner, MD, became famous for using salt restriction as a means to treat people with high blood pressure. During the next few decades, studies confirmed Kepner's theory that reducing salt could help reduce hypertension. A controversy is born. Despite history, a brand new review of several studies from the past few decades related to blood pressure and salt intake suggests Kepner wasn't right, that salt might not have as much of an effect on blood pressure and heart health as suspected. Well, my. Oh, we should be so shocked. I'm not. What did Jesus say about salt? That is what he said, right? Yeah, but the doctor said, well, listen, there ain't no doctor out there smarter than Jesus Christ. Plain and simple, see? Once in a while, science catches up with the Bible, but you got to give them a lot of grace. They're slow. They're slow to come around. While the debate about salt's impact on blood pressure pulses on, few doubt salt's role in the body. Salt is a mineral. Really? Salt is a mineral. Wow, I didn't know that. Honest to God, you're dealing with people that are just dumb as air. When we consume salt, water usually follows. So it's nature's way of ensuring hydration. Yeah, how about that? So obviously, if you start reducing some of the salt from your body, what's going to happen to your fluid? You'll lose some fluid. So then what will happen to your blood pressure, at least temporarily? It will go down. Here's another way to have your blood pressure go down. Don't drink any liquids for 3 days. I guarantee your blood pressure will drop. See, so it's liquids that's bad for your blood pressure. Well, of course not. But that's the same reasoning that they used for salt. Because the whole thing with salt is it helps retain fluid. And if you get an excess amount of fluid, it can cause your blood pressure to go up a little bit. And the same thing, like Sister Betty, she had to go into the hospital. Why? Her blood pressure was way down. Her blood pressure was 90 over 60. So I'm like, that's low. Say, what happened? Well, she was sick and she got dehydrated. And what happens when your body becomes dehydrated? Your blood pressure goes down. That doesn't mean it's a good thing, see? So that blood pressure with hydration has nothing to do with the problems with blood pressure should be arterial. They should be based on what's going on inside your veins, not what's going on with your fluid retention. That's the same thing they'll do. They'll give people water pills as a blood pressure medicine. Amen. Then what are they doing? They're just trying to keep your fluid down. But that shouldn't be what controls your blood pressure. That's just a residual thing on the side. That has nothing to do with the real causes of blood pressure. Have to do with your veins contracting and expanding. Okay? That has nothing to do with the amount of fluid in your body, although that will affect it temporarily. And that's the whole thing that they've done with salt. Salt is a mineral. The minerals that are in your body are essential. That's what you live off of. Now, what happened to man? God cursed him. And he was going to die. Amen. How did God curse him? What did he do to that man? What did he tell him? Anybody know? Genesis 3? I'm sorry? By the what? Sweat. Really? And eat off the ground that he cursed. Well, what's in the ground? Minerals. What do you lose when you sweat? Minerals. So why is it that you're dying? See? Number one, the ground's cursed, so it don't matter. But number two, if you're going to have a problem, it's going to be a problem with your minerals. Now, any veterinarian knows that with animals. If there's a problem with animals, what do they always do first? First thing they'll do with an animal, if they see there's something wrong with it, you know what they do? They check its minerals. They make sure it's got plenty of minerals. Now, why don't doctors do that with humans? They will eventually, they'll catch up. I'm just telling you, all I have to do is go by the Bible and I can be the best doctor around. I mean, when a doctor finally figured out how to do surgery, you know what he had to do? He had to go back to the Bible. Let's see, the Lord put a deep sleep upon Adam and then he took one of the ribs up. Hello? You see, everything's in the Bible. See, you want to know how to be a doctor? Get in the Bible. You want to know how to be a good scientist? Get in the Bible. You want to know how to be the right kind of mathematician? Get in the Bible. Amen. You want to have the right history? Get in the Bible. The Bible's the answer, folks. All truth goes back to one book. It is the Word of God. And it's my final authority. For everything I believe and hold on to and everything I hold dear and all my hope is based on this one book. That's it. And so that whole thing about seducing spirits, doctrines of devils, last days, that's what's coming. And then the last thing we started looking at was that thing on sound doctrine, right back there in 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. There'll be a falling away first. And so Christians are being deceived. They're falling for doctrines of devils, seducing spirits, deception on every side, and at the same time, they're falling away from any sense of holiness and purity and righteousness, anything doing with the Holy Ghost or this book. They have no sense of holiness or decency or righteousness anymore. And I'm talking about the good Christians. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 8. But we know that the law is good, if a man use it lawfully. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men-stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, then what is sound doctrine? Sound doctrine is more than what you know, which is what a lot of Bible believers think. They think sound doctrine is, look, I've got the Bible rightly divided. I know about the seven baptisms and the seven judgments and the seven this and the seven that. And I know about the feasts and I know about the second coming of Jesus and how many raptures there are and when it takes place. And I know exactly where the part of the hair is on the Antichrist, and you know, I know what the 10 toes and the other toe is, and therefore I've got sound. No, sound doctrine is sound in what you've been taught and how you're living what you've been taught. If it's real to you or not, is it sound? See? Is it, if something's sound, it has the right ring to it. If something's sound, it holds up when it's put under pressure. If something's sound, see? For sound doctrine, any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. Now, what did the Bible say would happen in those last days concerning that doctrine? Look there in 2 Timothy. Verse 1, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Why? For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. The Bible says that it is not right for a woman to usurp authority over the man. Say, what is that? Sound doctrine. Are churches putting up with that anymore? The Bible says that only a man should be in the pulpit. Say, what is that? That's sound doctrine. Are churches putting up with that anymore? Do you understand? Everything that's sound doctrine, Christians ain't going to listen to it. They ain't going to put up with it anymore. And you're going to have a church where there's sound doctrine? You think you're going to grow like a weed in a church that only puts out sound doctrine? Are people going to be flocking to it last days or running from it? Christians. Now, come on. Are you a Bible believer? What did the Bible say was going to happen? They will not endure sound doctrine. You want to get a bunch of people in your church? Tell them that they're good. Tell them that Jesus is great. But don't give them any sound doctrine, and you can have a bunch of people. But you start hitting on sound doctrine, they ain't interested in sound doctrine anymore. No, they're interested in something that's going to puff them up. They're interested in something that's going to tickle their ears. Look what he said there in verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts. There's the problem. They shall heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. Just make up some story to tell me. Tell me some stories, preacher. Give me a skyscraper of stories. Just don't give me any sound doctrine. I won't put up with that. I'm out of here. Because I can go to plenty of places where I don't have to put up with that. And you're right, you sure can. You sure can. Sound doctrine is what's missing in the church of the last days. Sound doctrine is what Christians don't want to hear in the church in the last days. Look in Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. Verse 1. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. All right, what are they? Let's see. Verse 2. That the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. What is that? That's the way you live. That's sound doctrine. Living a holy, righteous, pure life. Verse 3, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior. Behavior! What's sound doctrine have to do with? Your behavior. That they may be in behavior. Oh, he ain't going to tell me how to live my life. Who does he think he is? Some kind of dictator? No, I'm the preacher. The preacher's supposed to tell you how to live your life. Well, I ain't going to listen. I ain't going to put up with it. I'm going to go to my TV and I'll find my TV preacher and I'll be comfortable. I'll go on the internet and I'll find my church there, right? So what is that, last days Christianity? Bible warned you about it. They wouldn't put up with sound doctrine. Bothers them, ruffles their feathers. Why do they have to put up with that? They need to go somewhere where just everybody copes and shares and sings and loves. Amen. And we just all love one another, and we'll just go in and everybody will hug us and kiss on us and shake our hands and tell us they love us. And we can just go in there and just hear some wonderful things about Jesus and the love of God and how wonderful heaven is. It's all positive. That's not sound doctrine. See? They're not interested in sound doctrine. You start hitting on sound doctrine, they get nervous. You start hitting on sound doctrine, they're like, you're invading my space, you know, that kind of a thing. Well, what's the problem? They're not going to endure sound doctrine in the last days. That's what the Bible says. Why? They're Laodicea. It should be all about them. Verse 4, that they may teach. Listen, this is sound doctrine. Let's look at it. Verse 3. The aged women likewise, that they be in behaviors, becometh holiness. Holiness. Not false accusers. Not given to much wine. Teachers of good things. That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home. Really? That's how all Christians, they just love hearing all that stuff, don't they? You got kids? Lady, you ought to be at home taking care of those kids. How could he say that? Because that's what the Bible says. I didn't write it. Why do you have a problem with the Bible? You know why? Because you can't endure sound doctrine. You're a Christian in the last days, and you're stuck on yourself. Amen, amen, amen. And you're going to stand one day before Jesus Christ next to Christians that watched their children get eaten by pigs because they wouldn't deny Christ. And you'll stand next to them in your self-righteous, well, I thought, in my opinion, and the way I saw it was, before a righteous and holy God. God help you. Why? They wouldn't endure sound doctrine in the last days. To be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands. Oh! You ought to see them have a heart and read the vows for a marriage ceremony. Do you know what I have that woman say in the marriage ceremony vows? That she will obey her husband. Oh, you ought to see the looks. That's some archaical thing. What is that? He's having him. How could he? That's where we're at, brethren. That's where we're at. Well, if you are going to marry a man, you're to agree to obey. I didn't write it. They'll get mad at you. Get mad. How dare you believe that Bible and teach it's true? Why don't you just say what you really believe? That's what you believe. You don't believe this Bible's true. Then why are you in church? What's the point? Your God's a liar. Amen. The God, whoever your God is, he's a liar. He wrote a Bible that isn't true. Your God's a liar. Go serve your lying God. You don't need to be in church to do that. Now, the God I serve is a God of truth, a God of righteousness, a God of holiness. And that God who wrote this book said that a woman is to obey her. You know what that is? That's sound doctrine. Oh, that rubs them the wrong way. Well, you say, why? They're not going to endure sound doctrine in the last days. Obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. My. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Look at that thing. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters and to please them well in all things, not answering again. Don't talk back. not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. See, what's he talking about here? He's talking about sound doctrine. You know what he said they wouldn't do in the last days? They wouldn't endure it. That's the stuff they won't put up with in the last days. Verse 12, teaching us, what's that, the grace of God that brings salvation, hath appeared on all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Amen? So what is that? That's against what most churches want to believe today. That rubs them in the wrong way. What is it? Sound doctrine. They're not going to put up with sound doctrine in the last days. They're not going to do it. Now look over there in 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. This know also, verse 1, that in the last days, all right, here it is, signs of the times. How do you know when you're in the last days of the church? That in the last days, perilous times shall come. Is that what it says? You know what it means? It means what it says. What does that mean, perilous? Dangerous. Is it dangerous physically? That's what we like to think. Oh, the great persecution is going to come and... No, no. That ain't what he's talking about. It ain't dangerous physically. You and your family probably all right physically. The danger is not a physical danger he's warning about here. What's the danger he's warning about here? It's a spiritual danger. So what is it? Here it is. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Why? For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Now listen, this whole thing here, brethren, listen. Listen. And I taught this before, and there was mumblings and grumblings behind the scene, and don't tell me there wasn't. I know there was. Well, that's talking about everybody. That's not Christians. He's not talking about Christians. He's talking about Christians there. He's talking about Christians there. Well, I don't believe that. That's because you're dumb. Amen. If you don't believe that, you got rocks for brains. How's that? In charity. First of all, you ain't got enough sense to obey and listen to your pastor. Amen, amen. When he's trying to show you something from the book. Now look at that thing right there. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. When was that not true for the lost world? If he's talking about everybody, when was it not true that the lost world were a bunch of people that loved themselves? He's talking about Christians. You say, how do you know? Well, look at verse 5. Having a form of godliness. Oh, yeah, that's the world. Duh. Duh. They ain't talking about the world. The world's never had a form of godliness. But denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they, from such turn away? Oh, really? You didn't know that you were supposed to turn away from lost people? I mean, come on now, man. Get a clue. If the Lord's telling you to turn away from Him, He wouldn't tell you to turn away from Him if there were lost people. You should already know that you're not supposed to be around lost people. He's telling you to turn away from those who claim to be Christians. That's the danger in the last days. It's Christians. They should be lovers of their own selves. That's Laodicea. That's what it's about. Lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers. And then we just saw that, blasphemers. How does a woman commit blasphemy? When she doesn't obey her husband. Did you know that was blasphemy? Hello? How do children commit blasphemy? When they don't obey their parents. Whenever you rebel against God's given authority, that's blasphemy. Amen. See, you know what I'm doing right now? I'm teaching sound doctrine. How do you like it? Most people these days, Brian, they ain't going to put up with it. They are not going to put up with it. They don't need to. There's plenty of places they can go where they don't have to put up with it. Because we're improving. No, there's a great falling away going on right before your eyes. God help you to see it. Wake up for it. It's too late. Without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. When? In the last days. That's the warning. Are you turning away from them? Or are you still trying to fellowship with them? It amazes me, man. You say this stuff, and people are just like, why are you saying that? Because it's in the Bible, and I'm supposed to.
Amen.
Amen. Why are you having a problem with it if it's in the Bible? Why? They won't endorse sound doctrine. They don't like that. Rubs them the wrong way. But that's easily to happen to someone that's in love with themselves. And that's what the Bible says the problem in the last days. Verse 7, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Amen. Listen, think about that. When they came out with all these new Bibles, say, well, it just changed the these and the thous. Well, that's a lie. But secondly, you know what you do? Listen, you got this King James Bible. You know what I can do? I can show you all kinds of things and all kinds of truths by doing cross references back and forth. See how that lines up with that there? See how that lines up with this here? You see how, and go back, and I can, and oh, the Bible supports itself. It defends itself. It strengthens our faith when we see how it all interlocks and is put together. You can't do that in any new version of the Bible. All the cross references, all the links, all the pictures and the shadows, it's all been removed. It now stands upon nothing. And so you got a bunch of Christians out there ever learning. You know, they do their little word studies and stuff. They're ever learning, but they're never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And that's a result of getting rid of this book. Now look over there in chapter 4 again, verse 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. You see, the truth is not as important as fulfilling their own lusts. We were over there to pray yesterday, and there was a church. I don't know what the church is about or anything, but thank God. They were there, and they had a Bible thing in the back of their trailer with John 3:16, King James, amen, and Jesus is the reason for the season. Praise the Lord, amen, throwing out some candy. I don't know if they were throwing out any tracts or not, but at least, you know, they were trying to do something, you know, trying to do something, make some kind of a visible something for the Lord, amen. But then there was this other one, Lord help. What was the name of that thing, Wayne? Did you see that? I didn't even see them when they were going by until at the very end when they came by. Forward, my Lord, the Forward Church. And they're on a trailer going through in a parade in front of everybody, you know, telling everybody about Jesus with their bass and electric guitars and, you know. How pitiful. How pitiful. That's so sad. You know, what's that? Froward, yeah, yeah, not forward, froward, amen. That's it, yeah. Say, what is that? That someone has no idea they're in the last days. You know what they're doing when they're doing that stuff? They're mocking God. And take it lightly. And Christians look at that and say, well, isn't that nice? Lord help, man. You don't think we're in the last days? Now look over there in 2 Peter chapter 3. There's another way to be able to tell in the sign of the times. The Lord's given us something else. And that's called a calendar. 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 3. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts. How do you know if you're in the last days? The Bible said there'd be scoffers walking after their own lusts. Well, we just read about walking after their own lusts, didn't we? That's why they don't endorse sound doctrine. They're more interested in fulfilling their own lusts. See? I'll commit adultery if I want to. After all, I deserve it. If I want to fornicate, I will. If I want to live with somebody, I will. If I want to use bad words, I will. If I want to hang around some lost people and have fun, I will. I don't care about what God says. Preacher, don't get in my face about it. If I want to enjoy my worldly music, I will. That preacher ain't going to tell me. I mean, if I'm going to enjoy my Facebook, I'm going to enjoy it. He ain't going to tell me what to do. And then think God's going to bless you. You're a nut. I'll say that with charity. I say that with all the love I can muster. You're crazy. Honestly, if you think that your preacher can take a stand on something and you can go against it and think God's going to bless you for that, you're nuts. How much have you been in your Bible? Now, I'm trying to help you. I love you. And I'm not just saying that for me. Now, listen, I know what's his name up there in Birmingham? Charlie Andrews. He took a stand and started preaching against that ultimate fighting thing. He saw young people and others in his church, they were starting to really get into that stuff. And they were starting to rejoice in all that. That ultimate fighting, I don't even know if you all know what that is or not, but it's like wrestling, boxing, karate all together, and you just beat the other guy up until he submits or is knocked out. But anyway, he took a stand. He started preaching against that stuff. And after he did that, there were still people in his church that were doing it and that were watching it. See? And he found out afterwards who they were and called them on it, put them right on the spot in his church. You know what they thought? Well, that preacher doesn't know what he's talking about. You can't show me that in the Bible. Do you understand? It doesn't matter. If God led that pastor, see, to warn his flock about something, and they don't listen to him, don't ask God to bless you. He won't do it. To do it, he'd have to go against his word. He won't go against his word. It ain't about the man. He's just a sinful, wicked sinner that ought to be in hell. It's about that position. And the Lord put something on that man's heart to preach against, you better listen up. Chapter 3, verse 3, knowing this verse, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Man, I've heard that all my life. Jesus coming back and all. Yeah, come on, man. It just keeps going on the way it always has been. Always will. We don't believe in that pie in the sky and all that. Come on, you ain't going to scare us with that Jesus coming back, Armageddon stuff. He said, when you start hearing that stuff, then you know it's close. Have you been hearing that stuff? How about that? That's when you know it's close. The Lord said, when you start hearing scoffers walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? No big deal. Listen, any Christian, now hear me out, any Christian that right now would like to see anything happen more than the rapture at this very second is a Christian that's not right with God. Amen. You say, who do you think that is? I think it's over half the church. And I think I'm being generous and charitable with that statement. Probably more like 90%. And I'm not saying this church, but I'm saying the body of Christ as a whole, where we're at right now. Most Christians are more interested in trying to fix the country than fix themselves and their family and help their churches. And if you wanted to fix the country, that's the way to do it. Win someone to Christ. Amen. Pray for your pastor. See? Get involved in Sunday school. Do something that's going to make a difference. That's how you're going to help your country. Not by getting involved in all the politics and junk like that. Now, watch what he says. Notice the context of this is what? The coming of the Lord. See? And so he says in verse 5, for this they willingly are ignorant of. Now, when you're willingly ignorant, what does that mean? That means you're dumb on purpose. Right? You've made up your mind to be ignorant. I don't want to know. Therefore, I can be justified in being dumb. because I made sure I wouldn't know. So it don't work. It don't fly. Amen. And so this is what he says. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth, standing out of the water and in the water. You go right back there to Genesis chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. That's that gap. And most Christians are ignorant of that. They don't understand it. They don't understand that's where the devil fell. See? They don't even understand the fall of Satan, how they're going to know anything in the Bible. They don't know anything about their enemy. That's the fall of Satan. In other words, the earth was there before that. The heaven was there before that. And God reforms and remakes them afterwards. See? Now, what does he say? But the heavens and the earth which are now, the ones he reformed and made, beginning there in verse 4 of Genesis chapter 1, the heavens and the earth which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire. So how's this earth going to end now? The one God made now, how's it going to end? By fire. Reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, listen, Christians, be not ignorant of this one thing. Are you? You're told not to be. In reference to what? What's the context? The beginning of creation to it being destroyed by fire and the coming of Jesus Christ. That's the context. That's what we're looking at here. And he told you in the context of that, don't be ignorant of this one thing. That one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years. And 1,000 years is as one day. So when God did create everything, how did he do it? Did he do it in 2 seconds? Did he do it in 4 months? Did he do it in 3 weeks? No. He purposely did it in 6 days and rested on the seventh day. Why? Don't be ignorant. Don't be ignorant. He did it on purpose. Why? Because one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years. And 1,000 years is as one day. Listen, when Jesus Christ comes back to reign on this earth in the day of the Lord's rest, how long is he going to reign? 1,000 years. What's that? The seventh day. The Sabbath. The Lord's day. Meaning before that, you have how many? 6 days. Now, up until the coming of Christ, you had 4 days. Interestingly enough, 4,000 years. You know what's created on the fourth day? The sun. You know what shows up for the first time on the fifth and the sixth day? Life. Life follows the sun. So, if that's the case, you had 4,000 years to Christ. How many are you going to have after Christ before he comes back? 2,000 years. 2 days. See? It's simple math. So we can know about when Jesus Christ is coming back based on what God has said. He said, don't be ignorant concerning his coming. See? He's not slack. Look what he says, verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. What promise? Yeah, the promise is what? Of his return. Notice verse 4, and saying, where is the promise of what? His coming. It's the promise of his coming. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. Verse 9, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Why hasn't the Lord come back yet? He's long-suffering to this world. He's given an opportunity for as many as can possibly be saved to be saved. The Bible says when the fullness of the Gentiles has come in, we're gone. Now, we don't know exactly when that is. But from figuring the way you're figuring it, well, you're looking at 2 days or 2,000 years. And so Jesus Christ, according to what we can tell from the calendars and everything, and of course, we could be off a year or two here or there. We understand that, right? But Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary, died for our sins, 29 AD or 30 AD. was resurrected, and the church begins. So if you've got a two-day period for the church, or 2,000-year church age, then you would kick that thing off around 30 A.D., which means the rapture is going to be when? 2030. Now, we could be a little off this way, a little off that. We understand that. I'm not setting an exact day here and telling you it's got to be definitely this year or something like that. I'm just showing you, what does that mean? That means we're getting plumb close. That means it could be any time. Amen. Now, one thing I know for sure, God told Noah, hey, you got 120 years, that's it. When the warning started to come out, right? 120 years. That Jew gets that land back, Balfour Declaration, 1917. 1917, the Jews get the land back. At 120 years, that's when it all started. At 120 years. That's 2037, second coming. Rapture 2030. You say, you for sure it's going to happen that way? No. All I'm saying is, it lines up. Amen. It lines up. What's the other one you got to look for? 70. 70, the time of a generation. Amen. So how does that play into that? I don't know. But, you know, I know Israel finally got their city, Jerusalem, ended the Six-Day War in 1967. So if you add 70 to that, what's 70 to 67? That'd be 2037 minus 7 would be 2030. You say, for sure it's going to... No, I'm just saying, kind of lines up that way. It's interesting. See? All I know is the Lord's not slack concerning His promise. See, many in the church for years now have taken that thing and gone from the birth of Christ as the start of the 2 days. And I've always thought that's kind of strange, because the church age really doesn't begin. If you want a two-day church age, it doesn't begin till the death, burial, and resurrection. Now, it could have been gone by that. In other words, it could be any time between the year 2000 and the year 2030. That's your window that you're looking at. All right? Where are we in comparison to that window? Right in the middle of it? Okay. So based on the Bible, and based on what God gives us concerning the calendar as a sign of the times, we know one thing for sure, we're getting pretty close. Amen. We're coming up on 2013, so if it is at the farthest 2030, then we're looking at 17 years. Okay? Which means I'd be 68 if I'm still around. Which means, Amanda, how old would you be then? You'd be an old woman then. Good night. Yeah. Amen. Some of you don't want to think about it, I understand. And I don't know. We don't know. We don't know when the Lord comes. We don't know how long any of us are going to be here. You might be young in here and say, well, good, I'm young. That don't mean nothing. The Lord takes plenty of them young. Yeah, we don't know, you see. All we're saying is we're in that, you know, we're in that meter range, you know. We're in that window right now where any time the Lord could say, all right, it's time. Amen. Which means we need to be ready, and in the meantime, we need to be busy. Brethren, we are in those last days. They are not enduring sound doctrine. Amen. It's getting plumb spooky. They're nuts out there. Really. Good night, man. You better stay close. You better stay on fire. You better stay in the book. You better keep praying. Don't fool around. It ain't. Listen, the time is now to get serious. Amen? How did He close that thing out? Look back there in Luke 12. Notice what He's saying there. I don't know if you caught that. Why does Jesus say what He says there? When He concludes that thing about the signs of the times. What's the warning? Look at verse 56. Luke 12, verse 56. Ye hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky and of the earth. But how is it that you do not discern this time? Yea, and why even of yourselves judge ye not what is right? Listen, if you are at that time, then what would be the thing to do? Judge what is right and do what needs to be done at the time it needs to be done. Be sober-minded. Wake up, man. Get real. Get on fire. Serve God. What does he say, verse 58? When thou goest with thine adversary to the magistrate, as thou art in the way, give diligence that thou mayest be delivered from him. If you realize you're in a bad situation, right? What are you supposed to do? Put it off? Hello? Put it off? You know what that guy's doing? He's putting it off. Instead of dealing with it right then, he's putting it off, and he's putting it off. You know what eventually has to happen? He has to pay a price for that. If he had dealt with it right then, he could have gotten it fixed. But you know what he did instead? He kept putting it off, and putting it off, and putting it off, and then he has to pay more than he ever wanted to pay. That's the story that Jesus gives about that thing. Say, why? You know what time you're in. Right? Then this is not the time to put it off. Amen. This is the time to settle it and get ready and get serious and make sure things are right. Make sure things are fixed between you and God. Amen. Make sure you're good. And, you know, make sure your tables are up and in the lock position. That your seat belts are fastened, right? And that your seats are up in the upright position, and make sure you're ready. Amen? Because we're getting ready to take off. All right? But before that happens, none of that's going to get any easier. None of that's going to get any better. It's just going to get worse and worse. And the people that are going to be turning you in for being a bad person are going to be those that claim to be Christians. That's who you better watch out for. Because you're making them look awful bad. Amen. Those are the ones you're going to have to watch out for the most. Mark that down. Amen. Those are the ones you better take heed and use some wisdom around. Amen. Those are the ones that will report you to the authorities. Oh yeah, the ones that claim to be Christians, those are the ones that will do the most damage if you're not careful. That's what John warns about over there in 1 John. All right, let's stand for prayer. We'll take a break before the service this morning. Brother West, close us in prayer, please.